Hello, podcast world. We are back with our latest episode of the Georgia Partnerships podcast, Field Notes.
Field Notes!
I am Robert Gaines.
And I am Meryl Kemplecox.
And we are your hosts.
We are your hosts. Robert, let me tell you what we're doing today. It's going to be great. We brought our friend, Alan Richard, who is a national education and rural education expert and writer, and works with the Rural Trust, into our office to talk about the new report that they have released, which is about why rural matters. It is a national report that looks at all 50 states, looking at rural students in the public education system and saying where we're at, how are folks doing, what are we good at, what are we not good at, and it ranks the states in terms of highest priorities, who's doing what well, and who, you know, where are folks struggling. And he talked to us all about it. It's really exciting.
Well, I'm excited to hear. Are you ready to get into it?
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Hello, podcast listeners. This is Meryl sitting here with Alan Richards, who is joining us on Field Notes today. Alan, tell us about yourself and introduce yourself to our listening audience.
Well, it's an honor to be here, Meryl. I'm Alan Richard. I'm an education writer. I live in Atlanta, but I've visited schools all over the country. And I know a little something about rural education, and that's what we're going to talk about rural in Georgia today.
Heck yeah, it is a topic close to my heart. tell me what would you like to talk about rural Georgia?
Well, I'm on the board of a national organization called the Rural School and Community Trust, and we put out a report every so often called Why Rural Matters, and rural really does matter in Georgia and most places. But it sort of ranks the states, the 50 states, in different ways having to do with rural education, and we're highlighting it for your listeners.
Well, you want to talk about why rural matters and rural education. You are singing to the very cockles of my heart. I agree. Rural matters significantly in Georgia, yet it matters significantly to me. But give me some data. What is your argument of the impact of rural communities on our state and, I guess, nation?
Well, rural matters a lot in Georgia. And one of the main reason that rural matters a lot in Georgia is because there are a lot of students in rural schools in Georgia. In fact, Georgia has the third highest number of rural students in the country public schools. It's nearly 500,000 of Georgia's students attend public, to be more accurate, it's about 463,000. So it's behind only Texas and North Carolina
in
the number of students who attend rural schools.
That's public and private?
No, just public.
Okay, yep. That's huge.
It's pretty huge. And that means that more than one in four students in the state attend a rural school. And one in three public schools are considered rural in Georgia. So rural is a big part of schools, of education in Georgia, and in children's lives and families' lives. And just to put that in a little perspective, the number of rural students in Georgia, again, about 463,000, is about 2.5 times the enrollment of the state's largest school district by enrollment, which is Gwinnett County.
Wow.
So if you think about that, it's really important. It gets diluted. A lot of people a lot of people in the Atlanta area don't know a lot about really rural Georgia. And that's because it's so far away and communities you might not often visit, but it's a really huge slice of our state and really important and some of the outcomes we see on education, and there's lots of kids in rural communities.
So this study that you guys are working on and highlighting today, it only is looking at outcomes and inputs and what's going in the context of rural students, correct?
It's a data report.
From a statewide perspective, because of the numbers of metro students, they take up a lot of oxygen in terms of what's going on, and oftentimes, even though there are so many rural individuals, it's so spread out. Some of that gets lost sometimes in the noise of the, you know, statewide assessment stuff. So I'm really interested to know what has come out of a targeted what's going on in specifically these smaller communities in this rural. How do you get? Wait, now there's like 100 different definitions of rural. How do you define rural for the purposes of this study?
For this national report, Why Rural Matters, we use codes under the U.S. Census.
Yep.
So the three most rural designations under the U.S. Census tracts are what we consider rural. And there's a little difference on what rural and rural schools versus districts. Mm-hmm. So rural districts entirely within those tracts. And then you may have schools that are in those tracts, but are in non-rural school districts.
Sure,
does that make sense? So you might have a county, you know, Henry County or someplace near mm-hmm. Atlanta, where there are a lot of suburban or even urban areas, but there are also areas of countryside. And so some of their schools in the county may be considered rural.
Sure, sure. No, that makes perfect sense. So then what did you find? What's going on? What's going on out there?
Well, rural matters in Georgia, and there's a lot of work to do. Georgia ranks 7th in the nation on the new Why Rural Matters report.
Is that good or bad?
That is not so good. That's not so good, and I live here. I can say that. But we've got a lot of work to do. Georgia is the 7th highest priority state. Mm. Wouldn't say worst, but the 7th most important state in terms of the need to address issues in rural education and to do better by kids in rural communities.
Mm-hmm. Based on what? So what's going on? What's happening out there?
Poverty levels are very high in rural households and communities in Georgia. Rural schools serve disproportionately high numbers of children of color, which in our state is often an indication of poverty, historically has been. Instructional spending per student is well below the national average. Achievement in rural areas is pretty low, especially compared to non-rural areas of the state, student achievement. And there are some especially alarming numbers when it comes to rural students' college readiness and their preparation for life after high school that really rank Georgia near the bottom of the country.
That sounds pretty doom and gloom.
A little bit, but, you know, we're trying to be thoughtful about it. And our idea is that these issues can be solved. And we're here to be part of the solution. I know the Georgia Partnership always is as well.
Absolutely. I guess, if you don't see it, you can't address it. And so having the information out there and saying, look, we can track this is happening. It's happening now and it's happening in the heartland of our state. What do we then do about it? It gives you the tools you need to make a plan.
Absolutely. Well, I hope so. And you know, the Rural School and Community Trust is not about bashing rural America. In fact, we're sort of about standing up for it. I myself was raised in rural South Carolina, outside of Greenville, South Carolina, just a couple hours drive from Atlanta. But my community, especially when I grew up, was very rural. And I didn't have the opportunities that a lot of kids had in suburban areas and urban areas of my state. And that's very much the case in Georgia and other southern states and a lot of other places across mm-hmm. the country. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's important to speak up for rural kids who sometimes are marginalized, high poverty communities, that sort of thing, just maybe don't have the same voice in elected officials and economic power that other parts of a state, especially like Georgia, mm-hmm. have. So rural sometimes gets left out. But rural communities are very special places. You know, rural schools often lend themselves to being smaller environments, learning environments, mm-hmm. where educators and kids and families have close-knit relationships. And so there's a lot of benefits mm-hmm. for schools to be in rural areas. But certainly when you don't have the resources that other places have, you know, that's just some things we can address. And so we'll talk a little bit about how.
Well, let's do it.
Okay. Well, Georgia especially rates low in college readiness, students' college readiness. So that means things like high school graduation rates. And Georgia is especially low in the percentage of students who are taking dual enrollment courses, which are, in case folks don't know, you know, dual enrollment is when you take a class in high school, but you can get college credit for it. It's not the same as an advanced placement course, but it's similar. And so very few students, for example, fewer than 1 in 10 male high school students in Georgia take dual enrollment courses.
That's in rural
Georgia. And that's ninth lowest in the country. That's right, rural.
Is that comparing us to our rural neighbors, or is that comparing us to our metro neighbors?
That's compared to rural students in other states.
Okay.
So you're Georgia's ninth lowest in the country in the percentage of males who take dual enrollment courses in high school. Georgia does lots better on AP exams. Mm. About 12% of Georgia's high school juniors and seniors, rural high school juniors and seniors, take at least one AP exam, or pass, rather, at least one AP exam for college credit. But the dual enrollment is troubling, and also a minority of students, rural juniors and seniors, take the ACT or SAT, which of course is required by most colleges and universities to even
Do the numbers align? The number of students who are going through the energy and the effort of taking an AP exam, are they taking the SATs and ACT? You see what I mean? If you're going to take a course that's designed to get you credit for college, are they making the next step of then taking the entrance exams for?
Well, yes, but this would suggest that a lot of students who are taking the ACT or SAT, which is still not as many as might be needed, are not taking dual enrollment courses in high school.
So they are.
Yep. So that's one thing. Another thing, an area of concern, is student achievement in rural areas. Nationally, overall, rural students on something called the Nation's Report Card, or NAEP, which is kind of, as you know, is sort of an exam that a sampling of kids in each state take every couple of years.
Sure. It's sort of the way we're allowed to, we can compare apples to apples. How are we doing versus North Carolina or North Dakota wherever?
And that exam, NAEP, is given in reading and math in grades 4 and 8 every couple of years. And Georgia scores pretty low. Georgia's rural students score pretty low on NAEP. We combine grade 4 and 8 math and reading. And so by that measure, Georgia's 13th lowest in the country on NAEP scores.
Oh, wow.
But the good news is there is some improvement between 4th grade and 8th grade. We're not comparing the same group of students, but we do compare the scores in each subject, math and reading. And Georgia has some of the highest improvement between grade 4 and grade 8 in math on the NAEP exam. So that's interesting.
That's good to hear. This is also particularly interesting because, again, on a statewide level, Georgia's very middle of the pack in our NAEP scores. But it sounds like on a rural level, we are falling behind.
A bit lower, for sure.
Yeah, that's worrisome. Again, thank God for this report. This is data that gets lost sometimes.
Absolutely.
As you pan back and look at a statewide level, you miss some of these trends.
You know, nearly 1 in 5 rural school-age children in Georgia live in poverty. Mm. And that's not just the old sort of low-income standard that you might be eligible for discounted lunch at school. This is really poor.
Abject
so
poverty.
So this is poverty, below the poverty level, which is very low income. And so that's an issue in Georgia for sure.
Which, of course, implies a whole host of other issues. If that's the family, if that's a house you're leaving to go to school, you are not in the same position to be present at school and learn
sometimes
as a different student.
Sometimes you're not. And the student achievement for rural students living in poverty is considerably lower in Georgia than for rural students not living in poverty. It's worse here than in most states, so that's something to consider. And at the Rural Trust, we're big on resources. Money's not everything, but it is something. And it's pretty stunning when you look at some of the statistics in terms of how much we invest in Georgia, and frankly, a lot of southern states, in our education systems and what we spend per child on rural students. Georgia, for example, has the 18th lowest per pupil spending for rural students in the country. It's about just under $5,700 a year is how much we spend per child in rural areas on their education. That's lower, considerably lower than the national average of about $6,400. And honestly, you know, there are a number of states. New York is one of them. Alaska is another. that spend well more than double what Georgia spends on education per rural student. So money isn't everything, but you have to think that that limited investment in students in rural areas does affect the ability to hire all the good teachers and principals that we want, to provide adequate facilities, to provide anything remotely the same academic programs and that sort of thing, not to mention extracurricular activities that are so important in a kid's education, whether it be art, music, sports, all of those sorts of things. A lot of rural kids across the country and in Georgia don't really have the same opportunities as kids elsewhere. That's wrong, and it can be addressed with manageable steps by state leaders. And it's to everyone's advantage. You know, it'll pay off with economic development. The Georgia Chamber of Commerce has a rural summit every year, which they just had. And there's a lot of interest in developing the economy in rural Georgia, which is great. But we've got to have the folks who are prepared for those jobs, both college-level jobs and those that require technical training and that sort of thing. So there really are some steps that can be taken that will make a difference out there. It'll improve people's lives, and also it'll improve our overall statewide educational outcomes. We're not going to be on the bottom anymore if we can help a lot of our rural kids in poverty do better in school. And that, of course, connects with healthcare and a host of other issues as well, early childhood and child care opportunities too. But we're focusing mostly on education, but those things are definitely related.
Well, and they all tie in. I mean, they all affect each other. You made the point, talk about rural development, and there's so many statewide agencies and entities that are focused on that. And you can't effectively talk about economic development if you're not talking about education. It has to be an active player. And so this is critical information. Everybody has a stake in this. We all need the education pipeline to be working well, especially for our rural students in communities.
It really affects those of us in Atlanta and the metropolitan area, because, you know, it where rural Georgia goes, and a lot of rural Georgia doesn't go very far in terms of, the economy and education levels and that sort of thing. It really has an effect on all of us, and it costs us money, frankly, when folks don't have the healthcare they need, they don't have the education they need, then the jobs aren't there, and it really affects how state budgets are designated and things like that. And our contention is that rural really matters, and even after the last presidential election, when there was a lot of attention to rural America and small towns across the country, kind of the working class, if you will, it's amazing to us at the Rural Trust that we still aren't getting the attention that we deserve from our national policymakers as well as state policymakers. There's some refreshing signs in Georgia of interest from the state legislature and even the new governor on rural, but it can't just be talk. You know, it's got to be some action. And there really are very specific steps that can be taken to address those things.
So then what are our next steps?
Well, Georgia hasn't changed its school funding formula in decades, not the primary school funding formula. And, Governor Deal, the previous governor, had a special commission who recommended changes. The Georgia Partnership and all its allies have recommended changes, and we haven't seen any changes. So Georgia actually has a pretty good school funding formula when it comes to equity. There are some provisions that provide communities who have higher poverty levels and that sort of thing with some additional funds. Most of the southern states did that about 30 years ago, which was a great move. So it's not that we don't give proportionately a little more to communities that might need it and may not have the tax base to raise money for education on their own. The problem is that all buckets are a little too empty. and that's hard for us to believe in some of our communities around Atlanta where the schools have most everything they need. But every school can be better. And they're really, in my career over the decades, I've been to a lot of rural schools, especially in the South. And, it's within 10 minutes of walking into some communities and rural schools, you could see the differences. The buildings are run down. There are teacher openings. So subs are teaching some of the classes. there's no science lab and climbing wall and a brand new football stadium and artists, you know, teaching and musicians in the schools. There are the bare basics in a lot of schools. You know, there are some schools, I know not necessarily in Georgia, but in other parts of the rural South, where they've never even thought about having an advanced placement course, that sort of thing.
And it's one of those things, if everyone's bucket is a little empty, if you are in a major hub city, you have a diverse array of resources that you can tap into outside of just the school and your local millage rate or tax base or your SPOST. You can, there's lots of employers, there's lots of parents and PTAs that have, that are not necessarily as low income as in some communities you might find. In rural communities, there's a limited number of people who have the means, be they businesses or individuals. There's just less folks of means to support things like schools and also local churches and also their family connections and also whatever else, you know, is going on in the community.
Absolutely correct.
When there's less to go around, there's also less to supplement it.
Absolutely. So that's a double whammy for rural communities in Georgia and elsewhere. You know, if you live in Fulton, DeKalb, Gwinnett, Cobb, and other counties around Atlanta, you have not only those supplemental programs, the PTAs and the booster clubs and everything that can provide students with, you know, offsite trips and lots of other opportunities, but you also have local tax bases where not only do you get the state funding, but you, through local property taxes and sales taxes, you can raise money from all the commerce and tourism and everything that might be in the Atlanta area. Yeah. In a rural community, you might have only one or two main employers, a few small businesses, and that's it. There really is no local tax base except homeowners. So the tax rates tend to be pretty high. It may be low taxes compared to the Atlanta area, but the tax rates are in some cases about as high as they can be. And they're still not even raising the basic
amounts.
Well, sure,
and if you're in a small community and everybody goes to the county over to get their groceries, then you're paying their SPOST
dollar.
Exactly.
And you've seen a lot of these places. You know rural Georgia even better than I do. So it's a serious situation. And we would argue that it's not unsolvable. Yes, there's devastating poverty in some communities and things like that. But, you know, but with some smart investments in the school systems, things can get better. You can provide, you can find more of the teachers and school leaders that you need. You can find more mentors and counselors and reading coaches and others who can work in schools to help kids get up to speed. You can offer students more opportunities to connect on technology and to learn more about the outside world and visit other places and to have the arts and other things at their fingertips. And we would argue that every child deserves that. And some kids in our state and certainly across our country go without. We need to do something about that.
So it seems like there is an awful lot of good information in this report. What is your dream next step? Who is this for? What should they do with it? What comes next?
I would hope that state leaders and policymakers would learn more about rural areas, especially if they don't come from a rural area or small town, and just kind of understand what some of the challenges are and how it affects the whole state. I think that, you know, it can really help to pay a visit to a rural community. If you live in urban or suburban Atlanta, you may have never really been to a South Georgia community, and you don't know what some of the struggles are. So you might just ask someone take you down there and check it out. I would also encourage educators and school and district leaders to take a look at this data and kind of educate themselves more about the rural Georgia as a whole instead of just the school or just the district they're working in. Mm-hmm. I think that they'll see that a lot of the issues that they have maybe in their communities are issues nationwide and especially across the state and across the South. We've got a lot of work to do in our southern states, and I know that Georgia doesn't like to be ranked below some of our neighboring states when it comes to education and that sort of thing.
Or football.
Or football, for sure. But and sometimes it's kind of the same top 10, but we're working on it. And so Georgia actually ranks below on our Why Rural Matters report. Georgia's seventh in the nation in terms of highest need in rural schools, and that's actually worse than South Carolina, Louisiana, and Florida. It's a little better than West Virginia, North Carolina, Alabama, and Mississippi. Mississippi ranks number one. Mm. But I can say that now because the report's out. But Georgia's got some work to do. We want to be a lot better than that, and I think we can be. Our state has the resources to invest more in our kids and our families and our communities in rural Georgia. And I think we can do that with both creatively in supporting our education system and all the things that affect the education system. But also, let's put a little money where our mouth is and try to invest in some improvement. And I bet we'll see it.
You know, we do have a lot of folks targeting, paying attention to our rural communities these days. And so that is good to see. And we are very excited about having this as another tool in their toolbox to help us understand what's the lay of the land. You know, you can't go forward unless you know where you are.
And I'm so excited to talk with you about it. And I'm so excited that rural is kind of popular right now in Georgia and a topic. We always say we were rural before rural was cool, so if you will. But I want to tell people how to find this.
Oh yeah, yeah. So how do we find more?
Well, I'll tell you. The Rural Schooling Community Trust has a website.
Amazing,
yes. On the interwebs, it's called it's ruraledu.org.
Okay,
is our website. And the Why Rural Matters report should be very visible right on our homepage. Mm-hmm. But there's lots of other data reports and policy briefs from over the years at the Rural Trust on topics like school consolidation and funding and lots of other things. So I hope people will check us out. And we're also on Twitter at Rural Trust and have lots of resources and news clips that we share every day. So we're a small organization nationwide, the Rural Schooling Community Trust. And we try to stand up for rural schools and communities and try to make them better.
Heck yeah. And for all of our listeners out there, we will link to all of those exciting things on our website. So you can find it there as well if you are driving right now and should not be on your phone looking up websites.
That's right. As you're driving through rural Georgia, do not click on links on your phone.
Well, thank you so much, Alan. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you for having me, Meryl.
And we will look forward to reading more of this report.
Sounds good.
Well, there you have it, Robert. Hot off the presses. Why rural matters.
Yeah, it clearly matters. And what I was thinking about when Alan was talking about some of the challenges Georgia is facing is that although, yes, there are some clear things we need to work on, there also are tremendous opportunities for us to think forward and think about what the future of Georgia could look like. And for us as the partnership, this is particularly true around economic opportunity and talent opportunities. How can we take advantage of what we're seeing, especially around some of the momentum that you and I have been talking about? And you can maybe talk a little bit more about that.
Sure. There's a lot going on in Georgia that is centered on improving the economic and community development of our rural communities. And having information like this report is so good because it lets us see where we are. It gives us a picture, you know, and it aligns so closely with things like when you look at the Georgia Chamber and they have their New Georgia Economy presentation. And if you listen to them talk about when you look at the industry and employment trends going on, the absolute necessity for some sort of post-secondary mm-hmm. education for folks to be employable mm-hmm. and much less, you know, really having a job, much less having a good job and a well-paying job.
Right.
And then you look at some of the information coming out of this report and it's like, well, we're working on it. We need to focus perhaps a little more. So there's alignment there between their work and this work. There's lots of other alignment as well. There's a lot of folks operating in this space. And I think that this is going to be a very useful tool to help people identify where to target interventions, what policy should be priority, et cetera. And so I am excited.
Absolutely. And I'm encouraged. I hope that you're encouraged too.
I sure am encouraged.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, We are grateful for those who are listening. This is the Georgia Partnerships Podcast Field Notes, and we are signing off.
Bye, listener. See you next time.
See you.
Hey there, listener. One more thing before you go. You've been hearing from us, but we'd love to hear from you. We at the Georgia Partnership always want to get better at what we're doing, so let us know what you think so far. Also, what are we missing out there across this great state? Who's doing cool things in your neighborhood to support the education and workforce pipeline? What innovations and solutions has your community come up with around economic development? Are there some great partnerships between sectors like housing, health, transportation that are making a difference in your educational outcomes? We'd love to hear about them and spread the word about good work being done across Georgia. We hope to hear from you. To contact us, go to our website, gpee.org, and click on the Contact Us tab in the top right corner. Or give Robert, our communications guru, a call at 404-223-2464. Thanks for listening, listener.